As you can see in the bulletin, I'm preaching another sermon on a series on the way of the cross. If we want to follow Jesus in our lives daily, we need to think about the meaning of the cross for us. Something that happened that relates to our faith. Something that is very important to us. So far, I have told you that the way of the cross is a way of surrender, of sacrifice, of self-denial, and of service. Those ways are all pretty demanding of us. But today, I want to switch gears a little bit and look at the way of the cross in a different light. Now, when we think about the cross from the standpoint of all that Jesus suffered on the cross, it might be hard for us to see it as a source of strength for us. But I believe it is. After all, Jesus was taken, arrested, tried, tortured, and hung on a cross where he endured physical and spiritual torment. Those who administered all this terrible suffering thought that they were doing something to him. But Jesus said that they would not be able to do that unless he was willing for them to do it. His actual words were, "I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one can take it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord." Even during the ordeal of the cross, Jesus could have stopped it at any moment. You've probably heard that song, 10,000 Angels. One line in the song says, "He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me." In fact, some of the crowd that watched the crucifixion taunted him and dared him to do something miraculous. "Come down from the cross. Do something to show yourself that you are the Messiah." Jesus did not do it. He did not fall to that. He refused to do it because he was on a mission and the cross was a vital part of it. So for the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross. I think we all would agree, and it's probably an understatement to say, that Jesus showed a great deal of restraint and strength when he went the way of the cross. The point I'm making is that what sometimes seems to be weakness to us to begin with is really, in the end, a strength. Something that looks weak can be very strong. A case in point, Paul had been talking about an experience he had. We don't really understand exactly what all happened. But he says that he was caught up to the third heaven. He said that he had been given visions and revelations, and he was taken up into paradise. And while he was there, he heard things that he was not permitted to talk about. And to keep him from becoming proud as a result of having had that experience, he was given what he called a thorn in the flesh, which was something that bothered him greatly. Bible scholars have speculated as to what that thorn might have been, but we don't know. But we know that it was such a bother to him that he asked the Lord three times to remove it, to take it away. But instead of doing that, after three times, he was told by the Lord that he was going to give him the strength that he needed in order to deal with it. The exact words that came to Paul were, "My power," that is God's power, "is made perfect in weakness." Let's apply that same idea to the cross. I submit to you that it took great strength for Jesus to restrain from using his divine power throughout that experience. When it appears that he was weak because of what was being done to him, he was actually showing great strength in submitting to the will of the Father. It appeared to those who wanted him out of the way that he was defeated. When he died on the cross, it was all over. And his disciples felt great disappointment, because they had thought that Jesus was going to lead them in the way that would be a way of victory. It appeared to those all around him that this whole experience, this whole episode, spoke to them of failure. But even when his disciples felt discouraged and disappointed, what seemed like defeat at the time turned out to be the greatest victory in human history. It reminds me of that scripture in Romans. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to His purpose. To me, that's a tremendous promise. Think about it. God can transform the most horrendous situation. He can take something that is terrible and bad and make something good come out of it. He can bring good out of evil. He has the power to do that. Sometimes everything is not what it seems to be. Sometimes we have to wait a while for the final conclusion. I could tell you many stories about people who have experienced that very thing. We receive a little magazine each month, and in that story, in that book or magazine, which is called Guidepost, there are stories upon stories upon stories of people who have had terrible experiences in this life, but have seen God come and help them in their times of need. And I'm sure that everyone here, every person here, could testify about how God has turned something around for you in your life. That's what Paul meant when he said, "We know this. We know what God can do. We know that what he's willing to do. We know that what he's able to do." It's not theoretical. It's real. As we think about strength coming from the cross and what Paul talked about in today's scripture, what we really need to know is, how do we receive that strength? How do we, those of us here, receive that strength from the cross? Now, I know that some people might be offended if we describe them as being weak or in need of anything. But there's really nothing shameful about facing up to our weaknesses. The people who feel strong in themselves and in their own power feel no need for God at all or for His strength in their lives. In our culture, we have made a whole process of building up spiritual strength. That's quite a lucrative business today. If you go by these physical fitness places, you always see that there are many people in there working out. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, it can be a good thing. But we must never come to the place where we think we are so strong, that we are so capable, that we are so able, that we don't have any need at all for God in our lives. That we can just push Him aside and say, "I can do this. I can get along by myself without you." Here's the thing. We can either struggle along in our own strength alone, or we can turn to the Lord and receive His mighty power. What is true of individuals is also true of churches. We can struggle along in our own ability and strength and our own resources, or we can turn to the Lord. We can call upon Him. We can ask Him for His help and receive that. And that will make a big difference. I read recently that unless something momentous happens, the younger generation, as the younger generation grows up, the prediction is, of course, that many of them will reject Christianity. Why wouldn't they? After all, they've been brainwashed and indoctrinated against everything that is Christian. We have already been told that we are living in a post-Christian era in our country. And we've seen how secular our country has become even in the past 10 years. But do you know why it is such a sad thing that so many people, and much of our culture as well, have pushed God aside? Why is that such a sad thing? I'm sure that it's quite distressing to Him, of course. But the worst part of it is, when we do that, we deny ourselves all of the help that He has available to us and wants to give us. It is so unnecessary and so foolish. What I'm saying is that the first step in receiving God's strength is to realize that we need it and be willing to ask for it. I believe that is what Paul meant in today's scripture when he said, "When I am weak, then I am strong." I heard a story about a preacher who was preparing to preach his first sermon. And he prepared his sermon for hours upon hours and went over it many, many times. Felt like he was really ready to preach that sermon. He memorized it, had it all down pat. And when the appointed day came, he went up to the pulpit feeling very confident in himself and ready to go and to share that message with the people. But when he saw the people out there, and they were all looking at him and looking back at him, he forgot everything about his sermon. He forgot it all. And no matter how he struggled, no matter what he tried to do, he couldn't think of it. He couldn't bring it across his mind at all. And so he felt very humiliated and sorry. And he sort of made an apology to the people and then went down and sat down. After the service, he was talking to one of the men in the church and he said, "I just don't know what happened. I thought I was so ready. I was so confident. I was ready to preach that sermon." And the older man said, "Son, if you had gone up the way you came down, you probably would have done much better." The minute we think that we no longer need the Lord or do need to seek His help, then we're in trouble, aren't we? The prophet Isaiah wrote these familiar words: "They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and they will not faint." That's a promise that comes to us from the Lord. According to Isaiah, what is the key to receiving strength from the Lord? Is it not waiting on the Lord? Before we specifically think about how we do that, I want to suggest three important considerations about God's strength. In the first place, it is possible for any of us to lose strength and become weakened in some way. That could happen in a number of ways. Isaiah talks about having our strength renewed. That means that at some point a person might have been strong or stronger, and something causes that person to lose strength. It could be an illness of some sort. It could be a severe crisis, such as the death of a loved one or some other great loss. It could be that stress itself comes to a person and breaks them down. Seems like we're living in a stress-filled time today. Why are there so many mental breakdowns and so many suicides? Stress could be a factor. Also, all of the controversy surrounding social media might be a part of the picture. Whatever the cause, it can happen to any of us. And when weakness comes upon us, that is, when we feel weak at all in ourselves, when we feel like we are weakened, we need to know our strength can be renewed. In the second place, the good news is that it is possible to have our strength renewed. If we feel weak, it's not a permanent condition. Paul once wrote, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength," or "who provides the strength to me." Now, Paul was not boasting about his own personal strength, even not saying, "I'm really a strong person." Rather, he was pointing out that it was Christ's strength supplied to him that made the difference. When confronted with some challenge, have you ever said, "I can't do that. I just can't do it"? You would not be the first person that responded in that way. Remember Moses? How about Jonah? Or how about Gideon? At first, they all wanted to opt out, but God would not allow them to do that. He would not let them off the hook. Instead, He told them that He would be with them and He would help them. They all ended up doing so much more than they ever thought they possibly could do. I think that's true of all of us. When we turn to the Lord, when we depend on Him for His strength, when we ask Him and receive from Him, we can do so much more than we ever thought we possibly could. In the third place, the strength that God provides is the best kind of strength. When the Lord helps us, He doesn't just take over completely. Instead, He works in us and through us to accomplish His purpose. We might feel totally wiped out, or we might be so weary that we can't lift a finger, but God is able to renew our strength. We can walk and even run tirelessly, figuratively speaking, with the strength that God provides. If that is the case, what do we have to do in order to receive God's strength? Isaiah tells us in the scripture I read earlier, we must wait upon the Lord. As you know, there are different kinds of waiting. There is a passive kind of waiting, where we just sit back until something happens. It's like sitting in our easy chair and singing, Kumbaya, or Come by here, Lord. There are times when that is quite appropriate. One of the reasons why we may not receive help is that we are so busy trying to do it by ourselves. We may have to quiet ourselves, be still, and wait. There are also times when we need to wait actively. That is, keep busy doing something. The Lord may ask us to participate in our answer for help. And we must be willing to do what we can, or what He enables us to do. This word wait in the scripture, in the original Hebrew, means to bind together. Isaiah says that we need to bind ourselves together with the Lord. Here we see the true answer for receiving strength from the Lord. As we bind ourselves to Him, then as we grow closer to Him, it's like being yoked up with Him. And in Ephesians 6:10, Paul exhorts us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. At times we can feel like we've been ground down to fine powder, but we can snap back as the Lord infuses us with His power. One of the prayers that Carol and I pray each day is, Lord, give us strength for our day. If you don't do that, you might want to give it a try, because we need to be strong. In this day especially, God's people need to be strong in Him, need to have His strength in their lives as they live each day. We face many challenges. The Lord wants us to be strong in Him. And the good news again is that He will help us to do it if we call upon Him, if we turn to Him, if we wait upon Him, and if we trust in Him. Let's pray together. Thank You, Father, that You have made a way for us to be renewed in our strength. Sometimes we feel so weak. Sometimes we feel like we're so weak we can't even ask for help. But Father, we know that You are able to supply that strength to us. So help us to come to You each morning, each day, and look to You and say, God, give us strength for our day. Give us strength to do whatever it is that we need to do and whatever God wants us to do. Help us, Father, to realize that in Your strength, we can do so much more than we could ever do alone. And we thank You for Your promise to supply it. When we pray in Jesus' name, amen.